Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food, culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. With my Below the Mason-Dixie charm, I spotlight the culture of the food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking Hot Grease 100 food headlines and Asian American food media. Yeah. It's a special day in the studio, guys. Today is the 100th episode of Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Clap, clap, clap. You heard the claps Jack gave me. And what better way to celebrate this with people that I respect dearly? In the studio today, we have Ajamu Brown and Nina Fallenbaum, and we're going to talk food headlines. Welcome to Hot Grease, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
So, food headlines. All three of us attended the Just Food Annual Conference. What did you think, Ajamu? What did you think about the conference? What were some of the highlights, some of the workshops you attended and you walked away?
Well, you already know the highlights. The workshop that you participated in, and around black food sovereignty. You know, I'm all about bottom-up economics and trying to figure out how we're going to really do this and go beyond the rhetoric. So I love that. There was definitely some hands-on workshops that I actually didn't participate in because I was supposedly working at the event.
You were working?
At the volunteer, yeah.
Oh, I missed that. You didn't seem like you were working, Ajamu.
Blowing up this pizzazz. All right, so yeah, I was working. But the workshop, Jalal and his father.
I missed that. What was the title of that workshop?
Man, I'm embarrassed that I can't even recall.
Well, friend of the show, Melissa Danielle, who's been on here a million times. I think she moderated the panel. Yeah. Shout out to Melissa. I know you're listening.
Man, Dania Davey, she's an attorney who has a film about black farmers and the whole Pickford case. She worked on that, so she did a documentary about that and the work she's doing in North Carolina. So that was very interesting. But again, there was tons of resources there, and of course, you know.
So Nina, yes. I know Ajamu didn't go on Friday, or maybe he did.
I was there.
Oh, you were there on Friday?
I was working. That's why you didn't see me.
Oh, okay. I wasn't there Friday, but Nina, I saw some of your tweets. How was George from Egg, the owner of Egg? I absolutely love him. How was his? He did a keynote, right?
Yeah, he was great. He, he spoke poignantly about his background in food service and need to respect people working in food service. Mm. And considering one of my first jobs was dishwashing and busing at a restaurant, I could really relate to that. He said, how can people disrespect food service workers when they're eating in a restaurant while they're doing it? Mm-hmm. He shared an anecdote of, you know, suffering that humiliation and getting really angry that his customers don't respect his career choice. So that was great. All of the keynote speakers were really amazing. Joan Di Gusso and Garrett Oliver from Brooklyn Brewery.
Oh, man, I missed that. And that's a huge... Garrett, to have, you know, a person that's so entrenched in the foodie, a foodist or whatever movement, to actually be at a Just Food conference. What did Garrett Oliver talk about? What was he?
He also was very powerful. He said how the importance of the food movement is to bring back memory of food. He said the mainstream food industry profits from divorcing people from the memory of their food and the provenance of food. And he said this is not elitist. This is a return to normalcy as we try to create and nurture regional foods, cultural foods, and I thought he was a really powerful speaker, and he taught me about beer also, which is his lifelong passion. So it was great. I mean, I love that the conference was at a public high school. I'm a big booster of public education. I loved the crowd, and I attended a panel on food and interfaith traditions.
Okay. I missed it. That was it.
Fascinating. It kind of turned into a talk about animals and about animal agriculture and well, because there was a Muslim farmer and a Jewish farmer. They start talking about kosher and halal, and you know how we can think of spiritual traditions in light of how we're raising animals for consumption in this country. So it got kind of
man.
Deep.
I wish I had been there. So folks, if you're listening to High Grease on Heritage Radio Network, we're talking about the Just Food Conference. If you're on Twitter, they're at Just Food. Just Food is an organization based in New York City, and they support CSAs, aka community supported agriculture. They're doing great work in New York City. So we're going to move on to the next food headline. There was an article 7 days ago in the New York Times titled "Don't Mock the Artisanal Pickle Maker." And hey, I've been saying it for a minute. I'm glad New York Times wrote this article that, you know, folks need to get a skill. Because the world is completely going to that. Nina, you first, and Ajama, what did you think of the article?
Well, you can go first on that.
Yeah, I think it's true that we need to respect the handmade skills. I'm glad that we're finally focusing on that. And New York Times is, if New York Times is saying don't mock something, and they, then I'm glad that they said it.
So this is a question that I have, and maybe Ajama, you can answer this. I just feel like at this point, I mean, both of you guys are, I call them super educated folks. Y'all have, between you and Ajama, y'all probably have about 2 dozen degrees. But really, honestly, this is a question. Do you really need all of this education? How important is a bachelor's degree now, or do you need a specialized skill?
Well, I think...
particularly if you're looking at doing food work.
Right. I actually think that works as a disincentive. If you look at a lot of, postings, you can look at Com Food, and there's something around organic farming, and you need a master's to do that, really?
Yeah.
I think not. And I have family members who've been doing this for whatever, pickling for... for years, you know what I'm saying? It's nothing really new.
Right.
So it'd be great, although, you know, it's nice to know that entrepreneurial, you know, young urban people are getting into the game. It'd be really nice to kind of just broaden that and just also acknowledge other ethnic and cultural traditions that have been doing this too, and just talk instead of just putting a spin on it as if it's a new thing. I guess that's my own thing.
I mean, I guess the biggest takeaway I took from that is that the new economy's hands down, you're going to need both the academic piece, and you're going to need and the folks who really can do the real work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what I took away from the article. So moving on, another thing that has been, you know, in and out of the news past year, and then I think I saw someone this weekend, of course, at the Just Food Conference talking about the Farm Bill. What do you guys think about the Farm Bill? Does it need to stay in the news? Do you think everyday people know about the Farm Bill? What are your takes? And are people confused about the Farm Bill, Ajamu?
Yeah, the Farm Bill is something that's just not spoken about enough because it involves, you know, it dictates what we eat, how we eat it, when we eat it. So I feel like personally... you know, whatever, you know, food conference or outreach that's going down needs to include some type of, you know, literacy around that issue. You know, like the more that I learn about it, I'm like, all right, I understand how this is problematic, but then what are the solutions, and really where are the levels for community input in shaping, you know, shaping the next Farm Bill? So.
So, Nina, you are the perfect person for this question. That was great, Ajamu, because you used to work at USDA. What are your thoughts about the Farm Bill, and person who's, you know, been in the inner workings of the United States Department of Agriculture? And for folks who may be listening to High Grease for the first time, just a quick snippet of how big and how important the Farm Bill is.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Farm Bill covers almost all the budget of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. That's almost $289 billion. So that's no chump change for anyone, and that's our tax dollars. I think historically it's been the purview of a very small group of people.
Right.
And in recent years, the discussion has been widening, and it's including urban people, including people involved in fisheries, people involved in local or organic agriculture. And that's a good thing. But you're going to have a natural tension whenever a group of decision makers goes from a few to a more democratic process. It's going to have some growing pains. So I think that's what we're going through now. I think we all have a right to poke our noses in it because it's our government and it works for us. So yeah, I think the more talk of the Farm Bill, the better. It's a huge piece of legislation
and
that can be overwhelming to people. So I always say just bite off a little bit that you can chew and don't let go.
Yeah, you almost have to there are a few websites out there, and I'll probably put them up or tweet them out, that kind of break it down. But you kind of have to look inside yourself and say, what's my passion? And then look at the Farm Bill and say, if I'm all about, access to food stamps, healthy food and food stamps, you can kind of bite that off of the Farm Bill. If you're interested in the commodity piece, because it's massive, the Farm Bill. So, yeah.
I agree. I'm actually getting ready to launch some new public information materials about the Farm Bill because I'm just feeling so urgently that more young people and new groups of people get engaged in it. I'll send you some links that you can share with your listeners.
Cool.
That'll demystify a little
cool.
bit.
Cool. We're going to actually take a short break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more with Nina about the project she's working on. And hey, I know I'm seeing people are listening live to the show right now. Give us a call. Give us a call at about 3:45 if you want to say congrats to moi on my 100th show. Our call-in number
congratulations
here thank you our call-in number here at Heritage Radio Network is 718-497-2128. Keep listening. We're gonna take a short break and come back with Nina Fallenbaum.
I had what I thought were clear, open eyes, bright blue. Vision of a light, carrying pictures to lay on you. Close-up eyes, let them into mind, opening, it's the edge of love. Think thought either is there.
On behalf of everybody at HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we'd like to send a special thank you to the Hearst Ranch, our biggest supporter and longest-running sponsor since we first started in 2009. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, visit www.hearstranch.com.
Don't you love when you meet someone and you just instantly just be like, I like this person? Yes, you throw up the heart sign. Nina Fallenbaum is that person. Nina is the Institute of Ag and Trade Policy Fellow and food editor at Hyphen Magazine. And I think the best thing about Nina is that she understands the connection between food activism and food culture. So I want to talk a little bit about first Hyphen Magazine. I think it's a super cool magazine. And what's cool about it is that it's taking Asian American culture and putting it in, great format. How did you get started as editor?
Thank you. Thanks so much. Well, I started writing for them in 2008, and about a year later, the editor-in-chief asked me about possibly launching a food section. You see, when Hyphen began, the founding editor said, we will not write about food in the
pages.
Oh,
really?
Reason being, it's historical. It's related with the way Asian Americans are often depicted in the media. I mean, running food businesses has been a tool for survival for so many Asian Americans for so long. Many people said, enough already. We want to talk about skateboarders and higher education and drag queens and other things that we're not usually associated with. Enough egg rolls. This was kind of the mentality. But the editor-in-chief and other editors at that time said, well, we see that food activism is growing and there's a space and that you've really approached this from a policy angle or a different angle, and let's try to do something different. And I would say that Hyphen is... guided by many of the same principles as Heritage Radio Network, in that we're about independent media and saying our own stories in our own way. So it's an independent voice for independent stories.
So Nina, we have someone on the line that wants to talk. These calls, caller, what's up?
Hey, this is Adrian Miller, just calling to wish you congratulations on your 100th show.
Thank you, Adrian Miller. Adrian Miller is the food scholar on Twitter. Thanks for calling us, Adrian. Adrian, so I think I'm going to see you this week so we can toast to the 100th in person.
Okay, cool.
So you're going to be in New York when?
I'm going to be in New York on Wednesday night. I'm doing an event called Home Cooking in the White House for the Virginia Club of New York. It's going to be at their location in Manhattan. And so I'm going to talk about the cooking, the home cooking done by African-American chefs for George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and LBJ.
Cool. Perfect. Thank you for calling in. I'll see you this week.
All right. Sounds great. Congratulations again.
Okay, cool. So we have a few more calls, but I want to get to talk a little bit more with Nina. Speaking of, since he was talking about culturally... or really black food, I want to talk about Asian American contributions to food.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? You talked a little bit about how the negative, but what are the positives that people forget about in terms of Asian American contributions?
Well, Asian American farmers have done a great job of bringing new food items to the American diet. When you think, for instance, about the history of Chinese-American immigration, many Chinese came from southern part of China where the food is very fresh, emphasizes green vegetables. And some researchers say that they introduced a lot of green vegetable eating to the American diet in the 19th and early part of the 20th century, things like green beans, spinach, that many Asian American farmers cultivated and then showed Americans how to appreciate. I think that history has gone unrecorded and unacknowledged. In many urban and rural areas, again, Asian American grocers have played a great role of, bringing different types of food, sometimes good food, sometimes not so good food, but have really been on the cutting edge of introducing new types of foods and more diversity to the American diet. So
your fellowship.
Yes.
How do you use your fellowship to talk about all these great things? And give just a brief snippet of the fellowship. And some of the folks who... there's some big name folks on there. You're a big name person.
No, I'm honored. I mean, I'm just the little peanut with the big group of people. It's a program administered by the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a group I really respect. And they fund part-time a range of people working in media who care about food and changing the food system. So because Hyphen is a nonprofit magazine, they're enabling me to work on Hyphen and also to speak on policy issues and to help bring more people like ourselves into this good food movement.
So speaking of people, Nina, we have all these folks on the line.
Oh, wow.
Caller, thanks for calling into the 100th show of Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Who's calling?
They got scared.
Oh. Hey guys, you're on.
Who am I speaking with? Welcome to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
Well, this is,
hey Nicole, congratulations. It's Adriana Velez.
Hey Adriana. Oh, Ajamu's in the studio. I don't know if you know Nina. thank you for calling, Adriana. I really appreciate it. You you graced us on episode, what, 8 and 29. Did you remember you were on two shows?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Yeah, time flies. Thank you so much for calling in. And
we
always,
got two more people on the line,
Two more people? Oh, wow. Thank you for calling and always being a huge support online and offline. I really appreciate it, Adriana.
Well, sure. Same to you.
All right. Keep listening. I think we have two more people on the call, on the line. Caller, thanks for calling. Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
Hello, German this beer. Is...
I hear two people. Who is that? It sounds like Nancy McDermott. Is that Nancy?
That's Nancy here, and I can't decide whether to be polite or barge right in, but I'm just so glad you're keeping the grease hot. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Nancy. That means a lot. Nancy McDermott, she's been on the show before talking about Southern pies and all things Southern. I appreciate it, Nancy, so much. And I'm going to take the last caller, and then we're going to go to a break and come back and talk more with Nina and Ajamu. Who do we have on the line?
Yes, this is Brian Terry calling to say congratulations, Nicole, on your 100th episode. And
thank
say what's
you.
Up to my sister, Nina Fallenbaum.
Thank you, Brian. Great to hear from
Brian,
you.
And we're so happy that you called into the show today. And we look forward to your visit in person, in the flesh, to Roberta's in May.
Cool. I look forward to it.
Thank you for calling us, and thanks for congratulating me. Listeners, we are going to take a short break and come back with more Hot Grease 100.
Something that I left behind. When I leave this world, I'll leave no regrets. Leave something to remember so they won't forget I was here.
Nicole, it's Heather Jones from the Blacker the Berry Food, just wishing you a happy 100th episode of Hot Grease. Keep doing what you do, introducing us to the best and the brightest in the good food movement.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We are in the studio celebrating my 100th episode right here on Heritage Radio Network. It began in 2009, in the fall of 2009, September, actually. But today I'm doing what I love to do, and that is to talk about the latest food headlines, to talk about justice, food justice, and food. And I'm going to take this segment to basically wrap up what I've been doing the entire month, and that is highlighting Black history and people and food, Black history and food. So first of all, I want to ask both of you guys, have you seen this video that's been floating around about why Americans don't need Black history? I haven't seen it either. I didn't click on it because I thought it was kind of stupid.
No, I did read something about a person who was trying to, and I think there was a documentary about or some type of
I don't know with, it was something I haven't seen it but what are your just general reflections about Black History Month and the contributions of people of color, not people of color, I'm just gonna say Black people and food?
Well, I feel like Black history is American history, and it's just one of those things that unfortunately with so many things eating into your attention, and you know there's so many diversions, you can pay attention to a lot of things that are not actually building your capacity to survive. One of those moments and throughout the year where you can focus on your history, because if you don't know where you come from, you don't know where you're going. I believe that, you know, we should take advantage of it and try to, you know, expand. Black history is always evolving, you know.
I
love the fact that now they're adding Obama to everything, you know. It's like, oh yeah, you know, so it's attached
to everything, right?
Right, you know, whether, you know, so you take it how it is, but it's, you know, it's organic, it's evolving, and it's a beautiful thing. And you know,
and you know Ajama, I'm gonna have to say that I think that you're a rarity. You are, mm-hmm. particularly if you're talking about Brooklyn and New York, right. food justice, mm-hmm. black history. You're male, you're black, mm-hmm. you actually are born and bred in Brooklyn. You don't find that often. Right. And you're doing food justice work in a ton of great projects. Mm-hmm. So you actually are one of our black history.
We're making history, baby.
We're making history right now. So congrats to that. And Nina, I mean, in terms of, you're doing great work. It's funny because you and I connected about Southern food culture, mm-hmm. because I think you attended Southern Foodway Alliance the mm-hmm. year before last. Mm-hmm. And when we met for lunch back in the fall, I just come back, I think, from Oxford. But you've done work around Asian Americans in the South and the mm-hmm. work, and it's, some of that work is so parallel, and there are so many stories that are probably not told mm-hmm. about Asian Americans doing positive things together around food.
Yeah, well, some of my early academic training was in Black Studies and then in Asian American Studies. I don't know how anyone could put themselves in the position of saying we should be studying less history, especially as Americans. Yeah, it's influenced me a lot. And in the pages of Hyphen, I've really tried to write about inter-ethnic connections and also about the Asian American legacy in the South, which I just find fascinating.
Yeah.
And it's many stories that need to be told, and that's our full American history, as you said.
Exactly. And, totally.
Yeah.
So this ends Black History Month, but you know, here on High Grease,
that's impossible.
You know, we weave it into almost every show, but you know, just wanted to kind of highlight it and let folks know, yes, we do celebrate Black History Month here on Heritage Radio Network. We're gonna take a short break. We have some champagne in the studio. We're gonna do a toast,
right.
Folks, if you're listening, you want to call in, give a shout out and say congratulations, give us a buzz. Jack and our new intern producer is standing by on the phones. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
So I ball so hard, motherfuckers wanna find me. First, gotta find me. What's 50 grand to a motherfucker like me? Can you please remind me? Ball so hard, this shit crazy. Y'all don't know that, don't shit phase. And as we go, 0 for 82, when I look at you like this shit. Gravy. Ball so hard, this shit weird. We ain't even pope be here. Ball so hard, since we here, it's only right that we be fair. Psycho, I'm libo to go Michael. Take your pick, Jackson, Tyson, Jordan, game six. Ball so hard, got a broke clock. Rollies that don't tick tock. All the Mars that's losing time, hidden behind all these big rocks. Ball so hard, I'm shocked too. I'm supposed to be locked up too. You escape, but I escape. You be in Paris getting ball so hard, let's get faded. Lobberies for like 6 days. Gold bottles, soul models, spilling ace on my sick gays. So ball so hard, bitch behave. Just might let you meet gay. Shottowns, B-Rolls, moving the next BK. Ball so hard, motherfucker, find me.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Ball so hard, motherfuckers wanna find me.
That's shit great.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I am your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced and engineered by the fabulous, my lucky charm, Jack Inslee.
Thank you.
This program is being sponsored by Hearst Ranch. Let me give a Southern girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers, also known as Heritage Radio Network. Okay, so we're about to party. We're going to take the last few minutes. I'm going to see who's on Twitter saying congratulations. A few of the people have called in. We've just popped the bottle. That's why I played the, you know, Kanye West. You think anyone got that?
You like my live editing there?
Huh?
I said you like my live editing?
Right. I was like, man, I hope that's the clean version.
No, it wasn't.
We have, you know, nice people like Nancy McDermott listening. All those B words. She would have been like, oh my gosh, Nicole, what is she doing? Okay, so who do we have on here? Verushka is saying, damn, did I miss it?
Well, yeah. I hear you're on iTunes, so
So people, if you missed it, if you're listening, just tuning in, you know, we come back on the air via iTunes. You can download the podcast. Or actually, if this is your first time tuning in, you're like, oh, well, let me listen. I never listened to her show. I have 100 episodes. You can go straight to heritageradionetwork.com. And there's a box there. And if you're interested in, say, Oakland, you can put in Oakland. Jack and whoever's producing or engineering the show, they're actually doing keywords. So you can put in the topics on the right side of the website. And all the shows that have mentioned whatever you're interested in will pop up. School Food will pop up. Brooklyn, that'll probably come up a thousand times. It'll probably come up 1,000 times. But I just want to say really quickly to all the people online that support me, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. You know, when I started doing this show, I did not know what the hell I was doing. The first 10 shows were like horrible. And I'm just blessed.
That's not true, by the way.
Oh, well, you know. I had a drink. Actually, the first person on the show was Michael Crupain, who runs a site called The Dairy Show. He actually moved from New York. And I remember sitting in here. I was like, oh, my gosh, I need a glass of wine. So I drank a glass of wine and I was super, super nervous. But I made it through. And I'm just so, you know, blessed for Patrick and the old engineer, Nat Wiener, and Jack for giving me a chance and basically supporting me like every single week. And the people here at Roberta's, they see me coming here every Monday. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So cheers.
Thank
cheers.
You. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yes. To 100.
100 more.
100 more? I can take that.
1,000 more. Mm.
I like that too. So listeners, thank you again for listening every single week to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We're going to keep doing it over and over and again. Keep bringing you all the best folks who are like under the radar and about to blow up. But you can join me here every Monday live at 3:30 on heritageradionetwork.com. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.